The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 12th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And hope you had a wonderful weekend. It is another gorgeous day on the plains, another hot one, but that's how August rolls around here in the state of Alabama. You know what else rolls around in August is football. High school football begins next week. Yes, next week. Georgia starts this week. There are Georgia high schools that play high school football this Friday night. And then all the teams around here get started next week. And then college football starts after that. Uncle T-Bone back in the studio with us on this Monday. It's been a week since you were here. I know you had some things to take care of, but you are back. And it's great to see you once again, my friend.
Yeah, it's so glad to be back, especially this close to football season. This football is my jam, and I love it. 334-321-1390. Give us a call here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika. Or you can text us on the hotline, 334-784-1067. I've been hearing from a lot of our partners in advertising lately, Jacob. Uh-oh. And they say, guys, the phones are beginning to ring off the hook. They were ringing pretty steady through summer, but it is obvious that people are beginning to tune back in on a daily basis because football is right around the corner. And I just can't stand it. I do have a hard time believing what you just said is true, that people are about to start playing football this week. It is 5,000 degrees outside.
It's miserable.
Please hydrate.
It is miserable.
It is miserable hot. These are the dog days of summer, and they had a nice little scrimmage over at Auburn this weekend in that heat. A lot to talk about out of that, Jacob. We got an AP Top 25 that has finally dropped. That's no ESPN 106.7 Top 20, but it's still pretty good to talk about anyway. A lot of people up in Tuscaloosa had a nice little scrimmage up there as well to talk about. All around the SEC, football is stirring, and we'll be here to talk about it for the next 2 hours.
Yep, that's what we're going to do. He gave you a good rundown, and as he mentioned, give us a call. Your thoughts, opinions, questions, comments, concerns. 334-321-1390 is the phone number to get you through to us. And I want to start with Saturday, where Hugh Freeze and Auburn had a scrimmage, had an open practice to the media, and had an open practice for On to Victory donors, so members of On to Victory. And so there were, I would say, I mean, maybe 1,500 people, maybe 2,000. I mean, it was in between 1,000 and 2,000 people. Everybody, if you see pictures, it doesn't look like anybody was there because everybody was up top in between the top upper deck and the lower deck, trying to find where it hangs over for a little bit of shade because it was a hot one on Saturday. Let me tell you, I was there.
It was awful.
And even sitting in the shade, I mean, you're just beating sweat for 2 hours. Computers were overheating, catching fire. I mean, it was crazy there on Saturday. But Hugh Freeze had told us that there was going to be some scrimmage time, some 7-on-7, 11-on-11. There was going to be a little bit of action. And we got to see it. We got to see some of that action. And I'm sure a lot of you have already gotten some word on what happened and who performed well and things like that. But the fun part is now we get to give you our thoughts about it and what we think happened. And I can tell you just from personal experience and what I was seeing, offense was vanilla, but that defense had a heck of a day.
Yeah, it's a lot like that in the spring game, Jacob, where I walked away after going to A-Day thinking even more what I'd already believed, that DJ Durkin is one of the – out of all the roster turnover and coaching turnover and new additions to Auburn, that DJ Durkin might be the absolute most valuable of it. I mean, they – Listen, he's cut from that Muschamp cloth. I don't think that we've had a defensive coordinator like him in quite some time, one that's as talented as he is, as aggressive as he is, that knows the game like he does, and recruits relentlessly like he does. Now, Kevin Steele was a heck of a good coach at Auburn, but I don't think he quite had the recruiting drive that Durkin or Muschamp has. And so normally in these type scrimmages, historically, the defense should dominate more early in practice. What all the pundits always say.
Correct.
I don't know if the defense necessarily dominated. I mean, I don't – were they even full tackle?
No. I mean, they would if it were, you know, like runs run and play. Things like that. Yeah. But if it was – yeah, if it was a screen over the middle, I mean, right. It looked like two-hand touch type of thing because they're not trying to get any ankles rolled.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Good. I mean –
because Auburn's already had problems with that.
Yeah, we don't need any injuries – because you know they're coming during the season. We don't want to, you know, put any unnecessary risk out there in these investments
right,
before
exactly.
the season starts. So, yeah, I was not surprised to hear that Auburn's defense kind of got the better of the offense.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more as we go throughout the show today. This guy's got a comment about it, though. 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. All this recruiting talk, just want to tell you real quickly, he's listening in right now. Recruited my old sideline reporter for Lee Scott Murdoch from Antioch, who's listening in right now to y'all.
Love it.
So thank you for that. Had a comment on Auburn football real quick.
Okay.
When you look back at early season results, you look back even the first half of the UMass game last year in the season opener, you know, Robbie Ashford had 3 touchdowns in that first half.
Mm. Yeah.
And so when you think about it, Auburn really went away from that kind of run-based option offense with Ashford, went to a more pro-style attack, trying to throw the ball downfield to receivers who weren't that great, honestly, and in last year's system. We have a lot better receiver room this year. However, I think sticking with that pro-style system helped us bring in Cam Coleman, helped us get Malcolm Simmons, helped us get Perry Thompson and flip him from Alabama. Knowing where the program is now, it's really interesting how I think Freeze was playing for next year in 2026, even in last year's season, and the failures on the offensive side of the ball then. Just wanted y'all's take on that.
That's interesting. That's a very unique observation, and one that we're familiar with you having nowadays since you call in so much, and we appreciate that and appreciate you listening. The observation being that Auburn threw the ball maybe a little too much last year, given the receivers and especially down the stretch, right? Knowing that, I mean, there was, it just got to the point where you basically had nobody you could really rely on in the receiver room. And so what I'm hearing, John, is you want them to continue to do that this year, because while the gamble may not have paid off last year, you're thinking it has a better chance to pay off this year.
It does. And I don't think Auburn gets Cam Coleman or gets Perry Thompson if they're running the ball with Ashford in the backs 45, 50 times a game.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, and I'm with you on that. It's like, look, you're going to take over a football program that was in complete disarray for many years. I'm going to run my system long term, no matter what, because it's on me. Yeah, you do have to make some adjustments from game to game, perhaps, to maybe get an extra W or not. Especially there's an injury in some particular part or multiple injuries in your offense or defense, and you got to do some things differently if you get thin. But I see where you're coming from that. It's like, we're going to try and bring Auburn back into the modern era of football. We're going to run a legit offense that's going to put people into the NFL. And that's how you get big-time recruits to come to your campus now. It's
exactly.
Not just all about NIL. I mean, that matters. But if I can't back up my history of putting wide receivers specifically in the NFL like I did at Ole Miss here at Auburn, you're not going to get the big-time players to look at you, period.
Exactly. And my last thought on that is this. You know, a lot of us come from sales backgrounds. I think it's an easy sales job if Hugh Freeze a year last year, and I'm not going to name a particular receiver, but fill in the blank receiver, and he can Freeze can go to recruit and say, hey, look at this guy. He's a 3-star. I'm giving him 8 targets a game. If you come here, how many targets a game do you think you'll get?
Yeah, I think that's probably what he was trying to do and seems to be the selling point here early on.
Anyway, thank you guys. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, appreciate it, John. Great to hear from you as always. 334-321-1390. And I think this is why, and it's played a little bit into Saturday, not a whole lot, but that's why Freeze has continued. If you listen to what he says in some of his interviews and press conferences, he's putting the control in the hands of Peyton Thorne. He is giving him the offense and saying, look, the majority of what we're going to do is run the RPO. And I'm going to put it into the hands and the brain of my quarterback who has played high-level college football for many years now. And if it's there, throw it. If it's not, let your dudes eat on the ground. Let them do what they do between Jarquez Hunter and Damari Alston. And if the offensive line comes together like we believe it can, maybe wasn't the best showing on Saturday, but again, there's a lot of factors to that as we'll break that down throughout the show. But I believe that's why Freeze has done that. And in that, you guys are talking about recruiting wide receivers. That's a great way to recruit high-level quarterbacks is this is your offense. However, I'm going to give you the keys to success. As long as you make the right decision to make the throw, we're going to win some games.
Let's face it, folks. This was basically just a glorified 7-on-7. So I'm looking for, you know, wide receivers making tough catches. I'm looking for the offensive line blocking. I'm looking for one-on-ones, defensive linemen getting some pressure, right? You know, this isn't a full-blown 11-on-11. We're doing 100 yards or until someone keels over till you get there. Tackle fest from Coach Dye in 1982-83, right? I mean, times have changed. So I don't want to say it's like the NFL preseason, but how many times, Jacob, have you seen somebody in the NFL preseason just go crazy? Like Steve Spurrier, for example, when he first got to Washington and ran up some scores in preseason, everybody's like, here we go, the old ball coach, he's about to tear it up this year, and then fall flat on their face.
Well, you said
I don't
earlier.
Put a whole lot of stock into right. these things. I'm going to put a whole lot of stock on what the coaches have to say about it, not what a pundit or a fan has to say about it, because we're way too biased to believe that, you know, anyone, for example, Saturday who didn't think Peyton Thorne was the answer probably still doesn't, right? And anybody who does thinks that he is. It's almost like politics. You're not going to change anybody or anybody's opinion here. What I'm looking for is, did Cam Coleman, did Perry Thompson, did Malcolm Simmons, did they all step up? The answer is yes, right? I'm looking for what I kind of thought DJ Durkin was going to be like defensively, being aggressive and his guys. I'm looking at the physicality of these guys. Does our roster look different in person than it did last year across the board?
And it does.
So, I mean, you know, I don't think that there's a lot of questions coming out of this scrimmage.
And there shouldn't be. I mean, there can be concerns, sure. There can absolutely be concerns. I mean, a couple of guys still didn't fully compete because of injuries. And well,
there you go.
And you had – this is really interesting here because Freeze told us on Friday in his weekly presser that, you know, somebody asked him the question about effort and physicality and things like that, and he admitted that there were a couple of times that it's gotten a little over-physical and it's gotten too aggressive, and he said there have been a couple of plays they've gone back and looked at, and it was real close to somebody getting hurt. You had a situation like that on Saturday where it was, I don't remember the exact play. I can't remember if it was a runner or, you know, a screen or whatever the case may be, but an offensive player got picked up by a linebacker or a corner, again, I can't quite remember, and back shoulder WWE body slammed him over his neck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's going to get you 15 to begin with.
Yeah, and it's like, man, these are the types of plays that you cannot have. And Christian and I talked about this Friday. While you love to have guys going all out and giving you everything they have here in August, it's easier to scale them back and say, hey, let's take it down a notch for a second. We don't need anybody getting hurt, rather than it being the opposite way, Uncle T, where it's like, man, I can't get these guys to care at all. You know what I mean? So it's a good problem to have, as how we identified it on Friday, but seeing those types of plays, you got to get them cleaned up.
Yeah, well, you got a lot more competition on the roster at every spot, right? I mean, you hadn't had this much depth at linebacker in a while, so you better be going 105% or you're not going to see the field. And my idea of a defense is taking that aggressiveness all the way to the envelope and pushing it and then stopping, right? And so if it gets a little chippy and someone gets a little hit late, as long as that referee is going to the whistle but doesn't blow it, I'm good with it. But you got to understand too, it's hot. these guys have been working their tails off. They're filled with they don't have to go down to our friend Chad Cosby at Game Day Men's Health for testosterone. They are raging and ready to roll. And I do believe that there's a different mentality across the board with this coaching staff compared to last year. It's like there's a sense of urgency over there. We've got to make a statement this year. And if we got to lock that gate and backyard brawl, let's go.
And the defense acted that way on Saturday. And you said it earlier, and a lot of people have. This is the first true scrimmage that has been taken place, that has happened for Auburn football. The offense is not supposed to look pretty. It's not supposed to be firing on all cylinders. And guess what? Believe it or not, Auburn fans and On to Victory folks, with as much money as you donate, it doesn't matter. Freeze isn't going to show you everything. They're not going to allow any. No offense taken, especially us that go or in the media that write about it or talk about it or do videos about it. Like, they're not going to show us anything. And so offensively, it was, let's see if we can just execute a few things. Let's see if we can just get some of these plays in and work on throwing screens out of the backfield and bringing guys in motion, which I'll say that there was a lot of pre-snap movement offensively, not in a bad way like penalties, but bringing guys in motion and coming in motion and then jerking back to where you came from and all those types of things. All that misdirection is going to get some people this year, and there's so much speed now on the offense that there's going to be some serious big plays this year in a good way for Auburn football, and for that Auburn offense. Defensively, though, they were all over the place. I mean, they were living it up, and the sideline let them know. I mean, that defensive sideline was very active on Saturday, and so if they can continue to do that into the season, then good things are going to happen.
Well, I got news for folks, too. It's, you know, there's going to be times during this season that Auburn's offense or defense won't be hitting it full steam. I mean, that happens. There's a lot of ups and downs in a season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't be on top of your game all the time, but you got to go back to that mentality, which I think that you're seeing with Auburn right now, that they're looking, you know, they're good. They're going to be good. How do you become great?
Yeah.
And that's overcoming those moments when you're not on 100% and you're still competing to the highest level. And I believe that there's just a new mindset over there with this staff and this entire roster. It's like, enough's enough. We're ready to scrap. We're ready to get it on. We may not always be at our best, but you're going to get our best.
I'll continue to give my thoughts, and T-Bone will give his thoughts as well, from the scrimmage on Saturday, what we saw, what we liked, what we didn't like. Would love to get you a part of the show. 334-321-1390. That's the phone line. Call in and talk to us, or you can shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. We'll take our first break here in hour number one on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 as we are breaking down what we saw, what we heard, what we think from the scrimmage and fall practice on Saturday, where certain fans from On to Victory and then us in the media had a chance to go sit in the miserable heat on Saturday and go and check out Auburn football practice. And a guy that we were just talking about during the break, Uncle T-Bone, mm-hmm. offensively, seems to be lost a lot of times in the freeze four that came in. Malcolm Simmons may have, if you want to crown a winner of the scrimmage Saturday, it was him, because he is electric, he is fast, he's physical, he gets open, and oh, by the way, he catches the football. And so he had a wonderful day, and so many people around have used this term and this sentence, and it's extremely true, and I'm stealing it for a second. It's going to be very, very difficult to keep him off the field this season. He's that good.
There's a lot of people can say this about, especially newcomer-wise, that are going to be on Auburn's roster this season, that he may be him.
Love it.
We could be calling him Himothy. Simmons.
Look at you with the
moving
dimes.
Forward. How about that? My youngest son told me that this weekend. I told him I'd use it.
I was wondering where
fell
that was
out
coming.
Laughing.
That's so good.
Himothy Simmons. I got a friend up in Alex City who was telling me about this kid earlier in the year and how much of a I don't want to say diamond in the rough he is, but just how, because he's so underrated compared to everyone else in the state, wide receiver wise. You know, Cam Coleman is amazing. We can't say enough great things about him. Perry Thompson, you had Ryan Williams move up, Bryce Kane, and how Simmons kind of got lost in the shuffle with all the accolades and should not have. He's an incredible athlete, ran track and field up there, a speedster,
yep,
physically gifted, punt return guy, kick return guy, you know, state record in the long jump this past season, had been since 1990, a guy out of Anniston who played football at Arkansas had forever. That's you're getting out there when you can break the state record that's been held for, I think, 34 years.
Mm-hmm.
Word on the street is that Mr. Himothy Simmons, I guess that's what I'm just going to start calling him, along with Towns McBoom.
Towns McBoom, and who had a good scrimmage.
Of course he did.
And he has to stay locked and ready.
And, yeah, and what a great pickup that was looking back now, looking forward. That Malcolm Simmons took it upon himself to drive down to Auburn every day after school, after graduation, to be part of the program, to be at practices, to be at workouts if he could be, and just to be around on his own dime, yep, from Alex City every single day and back. That kid has made it a mission not to have a chip on his shoulder and say, I'll show you, but to say, I'll show, you know, that I belong and I can play with these guys too. And look, I mean, the guy had over 1,200 yards receiving last year in high school, 12 touchdowns.
He's just a guy that is not going to say a whole lot, but he's just going to prove it with how he performs.
That's exactly right. And maybe the hype wasn't there, but underrated doesn't even begin to say. I mean, when he's out there taking – and Auburn's DBs are solid.
Mm-hmm.
And you know I love some DJ Durkin, and he's out there burning them deep. You might want to keep your eye on old Himothy Simmons here, guys.
Yeah, he had a really, really good day Saturday. Perry Thompson had a good day Saturday. Both of them caught some big passes. DBs had a good day. They had a couple of plays where they got beat, but – you know what? It's going to happen. Like, I mean, they're not going to be perfect by any means. But again, Malcolm just outshined everybody.
Look, a DB is going to get burned, and somehow, some way, you got to figure out how to forget it and move on to the next play. You're out there on an island, right? Especially in today's college football world or football world. I mean, they just throw, and throw. You're going to get beat.
Yeah.
So you got to get yours when you can and shake it off. I love what they've done with these wide receivers. Recruiting wise, these four guys have come in, and I don't think that there's quite the pressure on them that there normally would be because they brought in so many veterans in the portal too. So they're going to develop in time. And when they do, and you're heading into this time next year, my prediction, if they all stay together, you're going to be looking at one of, and you may be looking at it at some point this year, the best collection of wide receivers that Auburn's ever had.
I think it could be. Absolutely. It's the best recruiting class you've brought in by receivers.
Yeah. No question about it. And that's saying a lot, but have you ever had this much talent and depth at wide receiver at Auburn?
I mean, the season in the class, not the
maybe
class.
Maybe 2004.
That's what I was going to say. That's the season that a lot of people are comparing as 04, with some serious dudes on that team, on what should have been a national championship team. That's the only comparison I've really heard from Auburn fans that is close to what we're looking at or what we could be looking at with this group of receivers. And what I notice is not just from the recruits, the freshmen that came in, but portal guys and returnees and things like that. You have a mix of a little bit of everything. You've got smaller speedsters. You have tall, lengthy, skinny, go up and get it, guys. You've got the Perry Thompsons who are just going to throw somebody off of them, Seth Williams style at Texas A&M, and just keep going. I mean, just catch the ball and go. And you've got guys that are just reliable on third and four. You have all of it. There's not a particular style that they all fall into. And guess what? That's going to make Auburn's offense better because of it.
Before we get to break, listen to this, Jacob, from Jason Caldwell back on April 27th over at Auburn Undercover. Transitioning to a full-time wide receiver last season at Benjamin Russell, Simmons had a huge year for the Wildcats. 60 catches, 1,279 yards, and 14 touchdowns in 13 games. He also led all the Alabama All-Stars against Mississippi, where he hit with an 88-yard touchdown reception. Let's go, Timothy Simmons, my man.
We'll continue talking scrimmage later on, but need to continue a conversation from Friday. I left you on a cliffhanger, and I'll do it one more time, and we'll get to that when we get back from break.
Are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through the first hour here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins, and you can be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Or if you have any quick hitters on questions or comments, you can always shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. 19 days, Uncle T-Bone, 19 days away from the start of Auburn University football. We told you earlier that high school football starts next Friday. It is crazy to think about, but on Friday, Christian Griffin and I, who he joined me on Friday and your absence, and he's with us on Tuesdays, will be with us a lot of Fridays this fall. Him and I went through and gave our predictions for over-under win totals in the SEC according to ESPN Bet. We went through all of them, all of the schools, and there was one that I left out because okay. We went all through 16 and we had to pick two that we would, quote, put the house on. All right? If you had to pick two to put your life on it, which two over or under would it be? I had one, and I said Auburn was my second, but I didn't give what the actual pick was. It was a strategy to leave listeners hanging, not because we ran out of time. Auburn was projected right now, according to ESPN and their betting service, over under 7.5 wins for 2024. And you talk about a pretty spot on betting line for the Tigers and Hugh Freeze in year two. 7.5 is, that's pretty darn accurate, because can't you convince yourself, and we talked about this, can't you convince yourself that Auburn could win 6 games, 7 games, 8 games, 9 games? Heck, there are people that convince themselves they could win 10 games. And you know what? I don't think it's all that outlandish on any of those possibilities.
Yeah, I think the spread on Auburn and the number of games they could potentially win is probably just about as high as anybody in the SEC. I mean, they could have another bad season. They could only win 6. They could win 10. You know, who knows? It's Auburn. I mean, anything can happen. Historically, we've seen that. I think this team is far and superior to last year's team, roster-wise and coaching-wise. They were 6.5 last year and almost got there. They should have.
They absolutely should have.
That should have been a lead pipe lock. I'll take the over on that 7.5, no doubt about it.
Christian took Auburn – I don't know. I think he took them over, I think.
I'm going to go ahead and say this, Jacob. There's 4 away games, and Auburn's going to win 2 of them, at least.
4 away games, Auburn's going to win 2.
Yes.
Between Georgia,
Alabama, Missouri and Kentucky. And if they do that, they're easily going over 7.5.
Well, I think that needs to be the standard, right? I mean, that needs to be the expectation.
This season, I'm expecting over 7.5, and I don't think that's unfair.
Well, my lock, one of my locks was Texas A&M to go under 8.5. That seems really high to me for year one under Mike Elko.
I will take that as well. You know, and if you've been listening to the show, you know that I've been questioning why they're getting so much love preseason.
Mm-hmm. So that was one of mine. The two that Christian chose were Vanderbilt over 2.5.
That's a lock.
He put his house on it. He did.
That
he
is a lock. Their schedule is not that bad.
No. I mean, all they got to do is win their non-conference games.
Right. And I think they'll be a little bit better. I don't think they'll be a lot better. I think defensively they're not going to have anything. But I will take 2.5 for Vanderbilt.
His other one was Ole Miss over 9.5. He took that as a lock.
Their schedule sets up so well for them. man, no Alabama on there either. No Saban, which Kiffin couldn't beat head to head. I don't know if I can lock that down yet. I'm gonna have to think about that one. But their schedule sets up very nicely for them.
Well, like I said, I took Texas A&M over or under 8.5. I think that's a lock. I think that happens. My other lock is Auburn, and it's over 7.5. It is. It's over 7.5 wins, and here's why. Your roster right now is leaps and bounds better than what it was a year ago. And
right.
I have continued to say that in year two of a head coach in college football, at a program like Auburn that gives you the capability to be great, right? They give you everything that you need if things work out the way they're supposed to. You have all the resources, right? You have the recruiting. You have the money, the fan buy-in. You have a brand new facility over there. Like, you have everything you need to be successful. And the timeline nowadays is you get 3 years to show progress. Nobody says you have to win a championship in 3 years, but you better be competing for it. You better be making a push for an SEC championship, which I think is probably harder to make than the college football playoff now, because two teams will make it to Atlanta, three or four are going to make it to the playoff from the SEC. So you better be flirting or possibly even making a playoff in year three at a place like Auburn. And because of that, year two is crucial. It's crucial because you have to, whether your first year was good or not, which Auburn's wasn't good and we know that, but you have to wipe that clean. And you have to come into year two and take that really big jump. Mm-hmm. You have to make that jump. And I guess, luckily for Hugh Freeze and Auburn, last year was not good. So you have a lot of room to grow, right? You have a bigger jump to make, but you have a chance to do that this year. And the schedule allows you to do that. And we've beaten this to death, like everybody else has. The schedule is manageable. It's manageable, and I'm not going to quit talking about it because it's the easiest one I've seen in my lifetime as an Auburn football fan, and I'm younger than some, but man, this is unbelievable, and it still includes trips to Athens and Tuscaloosa, but it shows just how favorable it is, and we're going to talk about the top 25 later on that got released today. Auburn's not in it, but they got votes, and I think that's why. I think that's why, is people can see the differences in what this season could be. They see it on the roster, and they see it in the schedule. And, yeah, the expectation should be win your home games and go on the road and take a couple. You win your home games, you're 5-0. You got the month of October on the road with a bye week. You've got Vanderbilt, a non-con game, A&M, and then you go on the road to Tuscaloosa. And so 7.5 is pretty spot on in terms of what Auburn could do, but if you want this thing to go in the right direction, you've got to go over. You need to be an eight-win team.
No question.
Seven wins may be okay for some, but it's disappointing to me. I'll just be honest with you.
Have you seen the comments that are beginning to leak out with the Marty and McGee interview with Coach Freeze?
I saw that there was an interview
out tonight.
Yeah, I saw. I think SEC Network sent out a clip about it.
Yeah, there's some clips out there, and you can go to any website and find them. And there's he has some comments about being friends with Saban, and also says quite frankly that he should have two more wins against him that he let slip away. One was in 16, I believe. They were up 24-3 over Alabama. And while he was at Ole Miss, and he didn't himself said that I did not have enough sense to slow down the game after that. I wanted to keep going, and we got in a shootout, and we lost. And then last year's game, 4th-and-31, obviously, which I quote in his quote was, it stung. Yeah, it stung bad.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So you can – but what I saw – from the interview was not necessarily about what he said about that. I think people are saying a lot of things. I don't know if he should have said that or not. First of all, it's a breath of fresh air to have some honesty from a head coach over at Auburn like that in football. And he did say, we got to coach better. We have to coach better. You know, basically we have to be prepared better. You know, week in, week out, we have to approach every game like it's Alabama and Georgia, no matter who the opponent is, right? We have to have that mentality that we're ready to rock and roll, whether we're playing Kentucky or McNeese State or Alabama, week in, week out. That's the only way you're going to sustain success, basically, is what he's saying. And what I like about it is saying, hey, we have to coach better. They get it, Jacob. Everything you're saying, they get. Auburn has come up out of the doldrums of college football. They've come pretty dang far. I would say that Auburn's a good team right now. Good meaning you're over under 7.5 wins. How do you go from good to great? It is a mentality, and you have to be completely bought in and ready to rock and roll and adjust and learn. And that's what I like from Hugh Freeze. He's not up there like potato coach. Oh, I got this. I'm good. We're good. I got this. I'm from Boise. We'll be fine. Or, you know, he's not all secretive and afraid to say anything, kind of like Malzahn got at times, seemed a little paranoid. He's like, I'm still learning how to be great, and we're going to take a step forward this year. I think that they know exactly what you're saying, Jacob, because if they don't take a step forward and go over 7.5, you're going to start seeing some eroded wins on this recruiting trail, and that creates doubt. And when there's doubt, man, you got a big dilemma.
I'll admit, I appreciate Freeze saying that and accepting that, right? And I'm not going to say admitted, because he's not admitting anything that's wrong or incorrect. I mean, he's just saying, I should have had this, or I believe I should have had this, and that being two more wins over Nick Saban. And look, he can feel that way. He can believe that all he wants. And if he feels that way, which he obviously does, then good for him for saying it. But at this point in time, to me, that doesn't matter. Like, that doesn't matter. And Freeze has told us numerous times in press conferences already this season, hey, I don't want to talk about last year. I don't want to mention that. I'm done. I don't want to think about
right.
it. And
well, they did. I mean, in his defense, they did ask him specifically about it, right?
They did.
He could have just been a jerk and said, I don't want to talk about it. Next comment.
And he could have. Yeah.
The only reason it matters to me is if he's willing to say, we got to learn from that and not let it happen again.
I'm in agreeance with you on that. If
he was just all kind of pontificating about how awesome he is, and like some coaches we've known in the past around here who thought they had all the answers and had zilch.
Well, that's what I'm.
I would begin to scratch my head. I think he's in full admittance. Like, we have got to get better. We've been really close. I've been close. How do we get better?
And I'm with you
on
that.
So that's the only reason it matters to me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm.
And I believe it. When he says it, I believe it. I believe that's where this program's going. Or you wouldn't have seen the roster turnover you've seen. You wouldn't see the effort in recruiting you've seen. You wouldn't see the coaching roster turnover you've seen. I mean, we've upgraded bigly in all of those facets.
I'm reading through some of the comments here, and where I'm going with my take is I'm not worried about this falling into the same category, but a lot of people are trying to categorize it as this, and a lot of them being from the other side of the state. Oh, there's that Auburn mentality. Just, you know, war eagle always. Well, we didn't get them. We should have, but that's okay. Maybe we'll get them next year. I don't think that's what this is. It definitely comes off that way to some, and for people that want to pick it apart and make it what it's not, I get it. That's fine, and it is what it is. But I'm with you, Uncle T. If he uses this as, yeah, we screwed up. Yeah, we should have beaten Alabama last year, but we didn't. We didn't do it. We were wrong, and we got beat at the end. How do we learn from it? How do we get better? How do we make sure that that kind of crap doesn't happen again? 4th and 31 inside of our own stadium, where you let a quarterback stand back there for the longest time in college football history and go down with one of the best finishes in college football history on the opposing sideline. If he uses that, which I think he will, and there are changes in the staff, and there's a lot of changes on the roster, then yeah, that's fine. And it's okay to admit and say things like that. But if it's in the defense way, or if it's in the vulnerability way of, because let me just admit, that was Gus. That's what Gus did. Gus was this way.
It got to the point with the
frustrated me
with some of the previous staffs that I just quit listening to any kind of press conference or anything they had to say, because it was the same old garbage week in, week out. It was almost this paranoia where they were worried how somebody across the state would twist their words, or somebody in the media might say something that they felt like was unfair or mean. And I got news for everybody. If you're worried about – if you're a coach at Auburn, and you're worried about what some idiot across the state or some fan like me is saying on the airwaves, you got no business being the coach at Auburn. You're not going to be here very long. You're not tough enough to beat Nick Saban and Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
And I think that he is. And I think that this kind of candid discussion and this kind of owning up to where he's been, and it's been good, but it hadn't been great, and it's up to us to make it great and keep it great. I like hearing that kind of stuff. That's the coach I want, because, like I said, if you're worried about, you know, being very protective of everything you say because somebody might take it out of context and then use it against you, you're in the wrong business, cuz.
And I think that's across the board in this conference. I think that's from Auburn to Bama to Vanderbilt. I mean, if you're worried,
right.
which is why, and we're going to get to break, which is why people hate on Clark Lee at Vanderbilt when he walks in and says, we expect to win championships. Okay, what do you want him to say? What do you? Oh, yeah, we expect to win more than we did last year.
We expect to go over on what Vegas gave us.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, what do you want these guys to say? You know what I mean?
We'll
see. I'm diving a little bit deeper into
this.
We'll
see. If they put their money where their mouth is, then and we'll find out pretty quickly this season. And if that happens, I think you can fully say that Auburn's on the road to recovery.
As Ricky Bobby says, if you're a winner, winners can do what they want. And you can say what you want if you're a winner, is what Ricky Bobby says. So we'll take our final break here in hour number one. Come back, wrap it up. We'll get into the preseason top 25. It was released today by the AP. We'll have that for you when we start hour number two. But we'll wrap it up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Couple of more minutes here in hour number one on the Monday edition of On the Line. Uncle T, did you see this? And we may get to this in a little bit when we do our best and worst from the weekend, but Matt Kuchar did not win any fans over this weekend in a golf tournament that carried into this morning, in case anybody missed it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you see this?
Is this where he was like in 12th place, got a little dark for him, he hits his drive and decides he's going to not finish out the round, he's the only person going to finish out the round today in the whole tournament?
Yep.
And made everybody come back for him to finish his last hole, including maintenance and everybody?
Yep.
Did his caddy come back?
I didn't watch it. I don't know. You think he carried his own bag?
I mean,
no.
Cooch is Cooch has gone from Mr. Nice Guy and Lovable Smiley Guy. It's always those guys that always seem like they're just the nicest people on earth that you got to watch. And then he wins that tournament down in Mexico with the temporary caddy
a couple years ago, and
said here's a couple of grand and tried to stiff him out of his 10%. And then finally somebody on Twitter got after him so bad that it was a miscommunication, and he went down there and paid the guy what he rightfully owed him.
Yeah,
and
wasn't it like one of the course caddies or something? Because his guy couldn't be there.
Yeah, his guy had COVID or something. And then this stuff with him. And people were like, well, the difference with him maybe making a birdie is like $50,000 more. He's worth over $50 million.
He'll be fine.
You'll be fine, Cooch. Move it on along, slow play.
That has been a big problem nowadays, man. I feel like there are more and more guys playing on tour, whether it be the PGA or even in LIV, where there's just so many slow golfers nowadays. There's so many guys that their pre-swing routine is just out the wazoo. You know what I mean? Like, it's just whack almost because – I mean, you got those guys that they step up and they'll wag the club about 50 times before they actually hit the ball, and then they shank it anyway. And you can name 10 of them, man. It's crazy. And it's like, man, this ain't – I mean, I compare it to the guys you see on a public course. It's wild, man. And with Kuchar in particular, that's a guy – you're right. He went from one of the most likable guys on tour, ones that would always get fan love when he'd go, you know, coos. Like, they'd always yell at him at tournaments. But, man, he's just he's gone downhill in terms of favoritism and with the fan base. And pulling something like that is just insane, especially for somebody that wasn't even in contention to win.
He's not even in the FedEx Cup.
For the first time in a long time, since 2007? Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I guess in his mind, right is right and wrong is wrong. Buddy, hit the ball and finish up the round and let everybody go home, for crying out loud. It's been these people that work these golf tournaments, especially, you know, the people who set them up, the tour guys, especially the maintenance folks, they bust their you know what. And you're you know, out there slow playing and delaying the end of a tournament by a day, and you're the only person doing it.
And it was for
get a life, Cooch.
It was for less than a hole. Like he right. He had to go out, hit his approach shot.
You're telling me that he's never played golf late into the day long enough to finish one hole?
Take a glow-in-the-dark golf ball, man. Just go and hit it. You'll be fine.
I don't know. Maybe we could get Ben Taylor on, and he could tell us more about it because he's our golf expert and resident one here at 106.7 and at the Auburn Network. But it bothered me. I don't like hearing that kind of stuff. Why are you going to act like you're better than everybody else, Coach?
Yeah.
You're not.
For 12th place.
For maybe 12th place.
He tied for 12th, I think.
Congratulations. Next time at Augusta, I'll just boo him. How about that?
Yeah, it's not going to be Cooch. It's going to be boo instead. I guarantee it. I guarantee you pull stunts like that, man. Golf fans will turn on you in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's it for hour number one. We'll be talking the AP Top 25 for college football. It dropped today. While the Tigers may not be in it, they are getting a little bit of love. We'll have that for you. Best and worst from the weekend. And Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. That's all coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and listen to the podcast. It's just the show every day that we post on our website for you. So in case you need something to listen to at night or if you're driving or doing whatever, you can be laying in bed. I don't care. As long as you go and listen to it, we're cool at ESPNAU.com. We post it there each and every day. In hour one, we gave a lot of recap and our opinions on the practice and scrimmage that Auburn football had over the weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Also talked a little bit about the over-under 7.5 wins that Christian and I had on Friday. I finally gave you my pick on that. T-Bone did as well. And then there were some comments that are coming out from Hugh Freeze on an SEC network show that seem to be getting blown out of proportion a little bit. Shocker, I know. So we had all that and more in hour number one. Here in hour number two, though, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will be with us coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll talk to him about the upcoming season and a lot of other sports getting underway around Auburn as well. Soccer, volleyball, all the fall sports are getting underway over at the university, so we'll get everything caught up from Jacob Hillman. And what we're going to talk about right now is the fact that the AP Top 25, the preseason Top 25 poll is out. And Uncle T, this is pretty much how you know that college football season is here when you get the official preseason rankings in the top 25. We're going to break it all down in just a second. But want to remind everybody that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line from 3 to 4, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. We appreciate them bringing you the second hour each and every day during our show here on ESPN. AP Top 25, Uncle T, preseason is out, and it's the time for everybody to start overreacting. Who's too low? Who's too high? Overrated? Underrated? We'll run through the whole Top 25 here as we are getting it going. And again, this is really how you know that college football is here. And a reminder, Auburn's 19 days away. College football is even sooner than that because of all the week zero and even some of the smaller conference games as well. But we'll give it to you right now. The overall top 25 preseason rankings, all right? This was released literally today. Georgia is number one, Ohio State number two, Oregon at number three, Texas at four, Bama at five, Ole Miss at six, Notre Dame seven, Penn State eight, Michigan nine, and Florida State at 10. We'll pause there for a second. Your reactions to the top 10 in the AP preseason top 25.
Notre Dame's ranked awfully high there.
Agreed.
It's interesting to see Michigan at nine.
That goes against your poll for sure.
Well, I mean, the only reason I have number one is because they are the defending national champion, and that's how I do it. I think that they'll fall very quickly in my poll, and I think they'll continue to fall in the AP poll as the season moves on. Everything else looks pretty good. I'm a little confused by Oregon being in front of Texas preseason.
I don't mind it, though.
Oregon actually got a number one vote as well. Georgia got the most at 46, and Ohio State at 15. That Alabama at 5 seems to be pretty consistent with us over at RadioFreeAuburn.com on the ESPN 106.7 preseason poll where they landed as well. Man, Ole Miss getting a lot of love, man. Ole Miss getting a lot of love in this season.
Is it because of their roster or is it because of their schedule? I don't know.
I know Lane Kiffin's a solid coach. Never won anything championship-wise, really, as a head coach. They have a good roster. They've definitely upgraded on the defensive side of the ball as well with Pete Golding there, former Alabama DC, that they ran out of town, but he's a heck of a recruiter. They've done very well in the portal since Lane Kiffin's been there. But, I got to ask, number six, AP, man, right there behind Alabama. I'm with you. I think it's just because people are kind of tuned into the fact that their schedule is a cupcake compared to most other teams in the SEC.
I mean, you do have, of course, Jackson Dart coming back. You do have a lot of talent on the offensive side, but – man, for me to – I find it really hard to go into this season and you to tell me that right now Ole Miss is the sixth best team in college football. Sixth. I don't know. I got to see it. And that's the thing, too, with a lot of these preseason polls is – I mean, you could list Hawaii as the number one team, and you are not wrong because we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen any action yet. This is all based off of a year ago, based off of transfers, new hires, all that type of stuff, recruiting. I mean, it's just a guess for right now. Once you get into the season, then you can have your own opinion based off of results and what we've seen on the field, yada, yada. But, man, preseason, I just don't know. I think that Ole Miss is too high. I think Notre Dame's too high. I think Penn State's too high. I think all of those teams are a little too high for my comfort level.
No, I'm with you there. Florida State falling in at 10 seems a touch high to me as well. Those top five seem to be very consistent in just about any poll. Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this poll – do these people in the AP just, vote to see where they think everybody is right now or where they think they're going to finish? I think it's right now.
This is right now, yeah.
I just don't see – that Notre Dame really jumps out to me there, Jacob. I don't know, at seven. That seems way too high for me.
Well, we're going to get
A team that has a lot to prove and a program that has a lot to prove still. They continue to drop games every year that out of the blue that just seem like that they should not. I don't know about that ranking there, man.
Well, here's the thing with Notre Dame is they no longer have any excuses. They have none because they've been granted and allowed to do this thing where they don't have to be a part of anything and they get to feel that they're better than everybody else. And every time they've been handed an invitation to go to the big games and the big moments, they blow it every time. They always have. And now they literally have a sharpied in spot in the college football playoff. All you got to do is win. If Notre Dame does what they're supposed to do, they'll be in the playoff every year.
Well, I'll say this about the Irish this season, too. People might be tuned in to the fact, like with Ole Miss, no matter what their roster is or their upgrades that they've made, although I think Ole Miss has a better roster than Notre Dame heading into 2024, their schedule is not
– it's a joke.
It is not a normal Notre Dame schedule. I don't see Michigan on here. I don't see there's just very few big-time
– their hardest games right out of the gate.
Right, at Texas A&M, which you know my feelings on that. That's a very winnable game for them. That's Mike Elko's first game as coach at Texas A&M.
What a statement that would be, though.
A huge statement and opportunity for the Aggies to prove people like me wrong. Northern Illinois afterwards. When did they start playing directional schools up there? That's not Notre Dame. I mean, they may not always play the biggest name teams, but to play a Northern Illinois is really kind of pathetic for them. They're playing Miami of Ohio, Purdue, which they always play in-state. They catch Louisville. That's after A&M, their toughest game. Then Stanford, which is a joke. Georgia Tech is better.
I think is going to be sleepy good.
That game's actually in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. And I'm with you. I think Georgia Tech is much improved. They'll catch Navy that they always play. Florida State, Army.
That's at home, by the way, that Florida State game.
Southern Cal, who knows what they'll be by the end of the season. I mean, this is not your typical Notre Dame schedule, which is, not always – the fact that they're not in a conference has always helped them, but they normally play a pretty dang tough schedule.
Well, you talk about how we think Ole Miss may be ranked high because of their schedule. You can't tell me that Notre Dame's
exactly
not being ranked
right.
high because of their schedule. Yeah,
you dig a little deeper, you got to think that voters are like, that's a pretty easy pathway to a college football playoff berth.
And here's the problem. Even if they lose out of the gate against Texas A&M, which I think is very possible, a night game at Kyle Field, game one for Mike Elko, they're going to be ready to go in that place. They'll have 120,000 people crammed in that stadium. Even if you lose that, okay, win out.
Well,
win out.
You could still drop another one and get into the college football playoffs. Notre Dame's got this figured out. They don't have to play in a conference championship game.
Correct.
I mean, what an advantage to getting into the playoffs in today's college football.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, schedule a couple of tough games, get some directional schools in there, get some state schools like Virginia or Stanford with a name but aren't very good, drop two games, hop in about number 10 into the college football playoffs every season.
There you go. And they're going to do it until the end of time. Probably. And Notre Dame, again, they are in at 7, Penn State 8, Michigan 9, Florida State 10. Let's continue throughout there. Missouri's at 11. And look, there's so much hype around that team because of what they bring back and, of course, because of what they did a year ago. I think that's good. I think they're right there on the cusp. And look, if they go out and do what they're supposed to do, they'll have a good season and they'll be a playoff team. Utah's at 12, LSU 13, Clemson 14, Tennessee at 15, Oklahoma 16, yeah. The Cowboys of Oklahoma State at 17, Kansas State 18, Miami 19, Texas A&M at 20. I could give you the rest of them, but they don't matter for
Arizona,
our conversation.
Arizona, Kansas, USC, NC State, and Iowa. That's an Iowa team that has a bunch of returning starters. That's a sleeper team for me to sneak into the playoffs this year. People love to joke on how they don't score points. They've completely overhauled that offense, got about everybody coming back, and they were a top 20 team last year. So watch out for the Hawkeyes at 25. It's just a little tip from Uncle T-Bone. What I see and jumps out immediately to me is Oklahoma at 16. Mm-hmm. This is a reverse effect where AP voters are not paying attention to their schedule, and they're just looking at the brand. And Oklahoma's got a heck of a football brand, and they've got a good team now. They could easily be worthy of that 16th ranking. And if they're ranked 16th at the end of the year, they're knocking on the door of that college football playoff and have managed a brutal beginning SEC schedule, which they drew, which Texas did not.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oklahoma, roster-wise, team-wise, yeah, they're a top 20 team. But the question becomes, can they survive? I mean, can they survive in 2024 and beyond? And if they can, they're going to be good, and they'll be a representative in the college football playoff. For Auburn in particular, they are not in the top 25. They did receive some votes, though. Mm-hmm. They did receive two votes. People thought they should be in the top 25, which, take that for what you will. I don't know. I mean, they were about 10th on the list of teams that didn't make it, but my question to you is, and we've had this before, and I think it's a appropriate time to bring it back up. Since Auburn's not in the top 25, when do you think they'll be back in the top 25? At what point, going into what game, will they be a top 25 team? I'm stuck between, and I can't remember how we've answered this before, but my feelings have changed a little bit, I'm sure, where I don't know if going 4-0 with wins over Cal and Arkansas is good enough to get you in the top 25, especially with the teams that we're looking at in front of us right here with, you know, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Wisconsin. I mean, if Wisconsin beats mm-hmm. Bama, they'll be in a top 25 spot. Nebraska, Kentucky. I mean, there's a lot of teams ahead of Auburn right now, and I just don't know if four wins over Cal and Arkansas is good enough to make you a top 25 team before Oklahoma comes to town. That'd be the only reason you get it is for TV and radio for the, you know, for the ratings. Yeah, for the hype. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's 50-50 whether Auburn is in the top 25 if they're 4-0 after those first four games. Definitely would be in the top 25 if they beat Oklahoma and go 5-0 head into Georgia. They probably move up to about 18 or 19 at that point. But I'm with you. I think that's you would have to have a lot of upset loss. There's going to be some teams that lose early, but they're playing against other good teams. So it's hard, you know, voters don't normally dock somebody out of the top 25 right out of the gate if they lose to a top 10 or top 15 team, mm-hmm. right? So they'll be in the higher end of others receiving votes if they're 4-0 after the first four games.
Auburn plays five teams in the current preseason top 25 this year. They play number 20, Texas A&M. That's later in the season in November. They play Oklahoma at home in week five, that A&M game being at home as well. They play on the road at number 11, Missouri. They'll play on the road at number 5, Alabama. And they'll play on the road at number 1, Georgia. That pretty much lines up with most Auburn football schedules, which, again, it's crazy because we talk about it, how it's an easier schedule. It's a manageable schedule for Auburn. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, preseason, you're playing on the road at the number one team in the country and on the road at the number five team in the country. I mean, that's just what Auburn does. They do it every other year.
Welcome to being an Auburn fan. I mean, you're going to have to catch that every single season. I mean, Alabama and Georgia, for the most part, are always going to be very good, if not solid. So you just kind of accept that as your biggest rivals. That Oklahoma game, though, I mean, I'm telling you, Jacob, and it, you know, it's not breaking news, that could be the real pivotal moment for this program where, you know, no matter how it looks, as long as they're 4-0 hosting the Sooners, the fifth game of the season, and it's starting to get a little bit cooler in the fall, and you know, maybe they go off at 2:30, 3 o'clock, and it's starting to get a little bit dark finally, right when heading into the fourth quarter, that's when Auburn can throw down the gauntlet and say, we're back.
I'm with you. I mean, and most people are in agreement on this, where the Oklahoma game, that tells you what the season's going to be. That tells you what it's going to be. Even if Auburn doesn't win.
Right.
Even if Auburn doesn't win, if it's down to the wire and you get beat on a last-minute drive, last-second field goal, something like that, and you're in it until the very end, and you don't hurt yourself with turnovers and bad plays and five sacks and things like that. I mean, if you can win or lose trying, then I think you could be okay. If Oklahoma comes in here and does what Penn State did a few years ago, we're in trouble. I mean, that's a fact. If Oklahoma comes in here and dominates week five, then we've got a problem. Or if Auburn struggles up to that point and then it happens, all of those things can be true.
Well, I mean, in today's college football world, a California and Arkansas can have have enough out of the transfer portal to all of a sudden get you in a little rock fight and maybe create some turnovers and get you in the fourth quarter and make you press. I mean, and Auburn's still not solidified as a program to be able to just assume victory against either one of those opponents. And I cannot continue to stress that. I can promise you that this coaching staff is stressing that to its players every single day. Fans, we're going to be favored against Cal. We're going to be favored against Arkansas, and they should beat them. But you just can't roll over there and expect to be leaving in the second quarter and heading back to the tailgate tent to drink cold snacks and see what's on the tube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these teams, Arkansas was terrible last year, and we dominated them. They took Alabama to the mat at home. Could have beat them. California took us beyond the mat. And should have been.
They took us in the parking lot.
They sure did. So, as much as I want to continue to talk about how pivotal that Oklahoma game is, we got to get there first.
You're absolutely right. Well, as I mentioned, Auburn plays five teams in the preseason top 25. I can't stop looking past the fact that Auburn misses out on two other top 15 teams, LSU at 13 and Ole Miss at 6. Old schedules would have both of those teams on there. It would have been 7. Possibly, if Auburn was playing the schedule of old. Tennessee's in there, too.
Is in there as well. So, I look at that Texas A&M and those Oklahoma games, very winnable games for Auburn, and you have Missouri looming. I still think that as good as they were at the end of last season, it's going to be hard for them to continue the march into this season. That's just how football is. We'll catch them early at home. That's one of those games I've got circled on the road that Auburn can sneak in there and get a W.
We'll talk more about this and more with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network coming up at the bottom of the hour, but we'll take a break, come back, do a very quick best and worst from the weekend in sports. That's what's coming up next here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, a shorter segment here. We went a little long in the first segment, but this does get us into best and worst of the weekend in sports. And we kind of alluded to our worst in sports over the weekend, which I think most people are agreeing on. The whole Matt Kuchar situation in golf, we talked about it to end of the first hour, and we called out our friend Ben Taylor, who is over on News Talk WANI and hosts the Dad Bod Golf Pod podcast. And he sent us a text. And he says, and I mean, he texted it to me. I don't think he cares if I read this. He says, what Kuchar did yesterday is inexcusable. He told the golf world that he is bigger than the game. And then he brings up the Mexico stuff that you had talked about, where he and a caddy had agreed on a price prior to the tournament. If he would have missed the cut, that caddy would have got the same as he got for making the cut and winning. And then he says, yeah, if Kuchar misses the cut, his caddy would have made nothing. So basically, Kuchar was a crappy person in that situation. And then in this situation that happened over the weekend, which, again, if you missed it, Kuchar was playing in the tournament this weekend. It got dark. He hit his drive on the 18th hole, watched it, and said, it's too dark. Let's come back tomorrow. He was the only one playing. He was the only one there.
Right.
And made everybody come back and watch him hit three shots. He parred, tied for 12th, and then everybody else went home.
I mean, if that's not a narcissist, I don't know what is, Jacob. I'm sorry. That's absurd. Finish up your round, pal.
You're tied for 12th. Tied for 12th.
Best of the weekend, though, I'm going to have to congratulate, the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
United States.
Yep, me too.
Taking the gold medal count total, tying China. They were down the whole time to them. Take that, commies, and going up. For the whole medal count, 126-91. That's why we're the best, folks, and always will be.
Yeah, that was a dominating performance in total medals. And you're right, the U.S. trailed China the entire way in gold medals because the Chinese were winning all the diving medals. They were winning ping pong medals. They were winning all sorts of medals that the U.S.
Human growth hormone medals.
The ones that the United States just could not compete in. But overall, swimming did well. Track and field did well for the U.S. Not as good as I think some were expecting. But my best overall from that was the United States proving that they still dominate the game of basketball. That was awesome to watch this weekend, to watch the men.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt there, Jacob.
No, you're good.
I may have to throw in another worst of the weekend with LeBron. Did you see the clip of him shunning the kid looking for an autograph over in Paris?
Oh, that wasn't bad. That
Come
wasn't
on, LeBron.
Bad. He was getting out of the car, walking around the front of it. The kid jumps in front. What do you expect him to do?
He came up to him. Yes, he did. Sir, may I have an autograph? He basically got the Heisman.
He said, stop. He said, let me do my thing. Let me live my life. What gives the kid the privilege to run around everybody and jump in front when there's thousands of other people doing the correct thing and waiting for him to walk through?
Did seem Come on, LeBron. Be a man and give the kid a hug.
Oh, whatever. I don't think it was that bad. But
they did have to come back.
Yes, they did.
Because, I mean, this is not the 92 Dream Team.
Okay. Have you seen the janitors the 92 Dream Team was playing? Give me a break.
I mean,
the world is better now in basketball than it's ever been.
Probably because of that 92 team.
Probably, yeah. I mean, they grew the brand of basketball.
There were some Olympics where we could have probably rolled out there and won a bronze.
I mean, probably.
Like our church league all-star team could have done it.
Yeah.
That would have been firing up threes from timeline.
Oh, gosh. Well, the men did win. They beat France on their home country, their homeland. The women did the exact same thing yesterday. Both were very tight games. Both were very, very fun. But the men win another gold. They are continuing to win that. The women, in case you didn't know this, that's their eighth gold medal in a row. They are 61 game win streak right now in the Olympics, are the women. They have not lost in decades, man. It's dominant
what they've done.
They played France. So the United States beat France both times at both gold medal games.
Watched a little water polo yesterday.
That sport's awesome.
I mean, it really is, and people don't realize the athleticism it takes to play water polo.
They're treading water
the entire time.
Yeah, they ain't touching the ground.
That's like an 8-foot pool, man. Yeah. Yao Ming would even have to tread a little bit.
They're treading water and swimming and playing handball. It's crazy.
And America came back and beat Hungary for the bronze medal. Have not won a medal in water polo since 2008. So, USA! USA! That's what we do here, Jacob. We win medals and drink cold snacks here in this country. Let's celebrate another big Olympic victory for the United States of America.
I love it. The next Summer Olympics will be in Los Angeles coming up in 2028, so that's exciting in the next few years. I don't know if I'll be going to that.
Hopefully nobody will get shot.
It's okay. You're done. You're done. We got to get to break. We'll have Jacob Hillman joining us at the Auburn Sports Network after this.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back, maybe to a fault at times, but that's okay. That's what makes our show so much fun, I think. And on Mondays, each and every day at this time at 3:30, we always have this guy from the Auburn Sports Network who joins us, gives us updates and information from all around Auburn athletics. It is Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. My man, happy Monday. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, happy to be back on the line as we continue to trek towards the starting line of this football season. Kickoff on the Plains August 31st. So excited to talk everything fall camp with you guys.
Yeah, we are 19 days away from the start of Auburn football. And so to start this segment, I need your 19 best Auburn football memories. No, I'm just kidding. No, I won't make you.
I might be able to rattle those off, but we'll save that for another day.
Yeah, maybe we can do that when we get down to, like, game week or something. We'll get one of memories. Well, we know that there obviously was practice and a scrimmage over the weekend, and there was a lot of concern that the defense looked really good and the offense was, you know, kind of vanilla or whatever. I mean, it's just expected at this point, right, Hillman? With the very first scrimmage, you can't take a whole lot away from it, but I think it is good that the defense was making some big plays, and then even offensively, guys like Malcolm Simmons seem to have a really good day.
Yeah, I think it's really I think it's the thing you hear every single year is that the defense is always ahead of the offense early in these fall camps and in those first couple scrimmages. And it's all about how the offense adjusts in the next few scrimmages. And obviously, we will see what they look like on August 31st, and that's very important to be ready to go for game one, especially when you have Cal coming to town week two. That's obviously the game you want to be really prepared for. But yeah, I think that the big thing a lot of people took away from was, I guess, Friday and Saturday. Coach Freeze mentioned that Peyton Thorne didn't have his best day in practice on Friday, and I think he had a couple of ups and downs on Saturday in that scrimmage. But that it's interesting because he had a great start to fall. So I think it's pretty much a positive that you're getting some of those negatives out of the system, and you got to see them so that you can fix them and all those things. So I think it's a positive on the defense, like you said, just to see them there's more depth there, especially on the defensive line. Obviously, I think the secondary is kind of your weakest spot as far as depth goes, and we've talked about that for several weeks now. And then the linebackers, you're really hoping that Eugene Asante and Austin Keys can be those leaders with a couple of transfers and young guys filling in.
Jacob, give us a name on offense, not named Malcolm Simmons, Perry Thompson, or Cam Coleman that stood out. And go ahead and give us one on defense, too, particularly a newcomer either in the portal or from recruiting last year that made a statement in the scrimmage this past weekend.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. This isn't a new guy. This is someone that everyone's familiar with. But Rivaldo Fairweather kind of seems to continue to be that safety valve and someone you can rely on. He's probably one of the more experienced guys in the receiving room, but obviously he's doing a lot of the pass catching in the tight end room. So I think that he will continue to be one of those leaders. Obviously, you have Keandre Lambert-Smith, you've got Robert Lewis, but they're both still in their first seasons with Auburn, whereas Rivaldo's done this for a full year with Peyton Thorne and Hugh Freeze. So I think that he's one of those guys that you have to continue to talk about and really consider what he's going to get when we get to game day and how many targets he will get. So on defense, I think it is a transfer. I think it's Jaron Thompson and the leadership that he brings coming from Texas. I think a lot of guys have talked about how much he brings to that young secondary. Obviously, you have Keontae Scott as well, and he's super talented and a leader as well. But then past that, really the only guy that you kind of know what you're getting something from is Kay and Lee. Everyone else is somewhat of a wild card and an unknown. So it's very important to have that leadership and not necessarily the experience at Auburn. Again, I think that's something that's always very important to consider is, okay, this guy's a senior, but this is his first season with the team. So that makes a difference. But I do think Jaron Thompson coming from a program like Texas can really carry that over pretty easily.
I'll jump in on this too. On the offensive side, I think Sam Jackson's going to be a bigger part of this offense than people realize just because of experience like you're talking about, but the relationship that he has with Peyton Thorne, and I think the comfortability and the trust that each of them have in each other, right? I think that's a big part that people aren't talking about as well.
You're exactly right. And that's the thing is that goes back to what I was saying about Rivaldo Fairweather is, whenever you have that prior relationship that you're not, you know what to expect out of this guy when it gets to game time. Obviously, we've seen the tape from high school and some of those all-star games from Cam Coleman, from Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, Bryce Kane, and then obviously we've seen what Keandre Lambert-Smith and Robert Lewis can do at Penn State and Georgia State. But it's different when you go to a new school and you've got to work with a different quarterback. So we know what we're getting out of Peyton Thorne and Rivaldo Fairweather. Obviously, Sam Jackson has worked with Peyton Thorne in high school, so you can obviously expect somewhat of the same thing. It's a little bit different. You're taking a big leap from there, but they at least have some prior familiarity. So I think that is extremely important, and it's one of those things where as the season goes along, those freshmen, those transfers, they will also gain that as well and get better as the season goes along.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN Radio joins us every Monday at 3:30 during On the Line. The preseason AP poll top 25 came out today, and that's what we were saying is really the sign that college football is here as we are 19 days away from the start of Auburn football, and the Tigers are not in the top 25, but they did receive a couple of votes, which is promising, I think. And the question that we have posed to ourselves and now to you you. When do you predict that Auburn will make their first appearance in the top 25 this upcoming season?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, just because, you know, the way we – our expectations for this team, I think, is obviously to start 4-0, and then you have that big game against Oklahoma on September 28th. So the question is, does Auburn kind of sneak in there at 25 or 24 when they're 4-0? I think that depends whether or not or how impressive you look in those wins. Do you demolish Arkansas like you did in Fayetteville last year? Does Cal give you a little bit of scare, or does Auburn handle business there? If those things come true where Auburn handles business against Cal and Arkansas, and assuming they do the same against New Mexico and Alabama A&M, then I think there's a very good chance that going into the Oklahoma game, you're sitting right outside the top 20. Now, obviously, if an Arkansas or Cal kind of takes you down to the wire, you get a win on a game-winning drive, or you put them away late with a two-score win, then maybe they're just on the outside looking in at 26 or 25 and or 27, and obviously a win against Oklahoma would vault you into that ranking. So, I think it's interesting. I think where Auburn sits right now is a fine spot. Again, you're in the SEC. You have plenty of opportunity to prove yourself, and if you get to something like that 10-win mark, you're going to be in the playoff, and even if you don't, you get to 8 or 9 wins, which I think is where a reasonable expectation should be for this team. You're going to have a solid bowl game. You're probably going to get a New Year's Day bowl game, and you're going to have a really good season. So that's where I sit on the where Auburn stands in the AP Top 25.
Jacob, have you had a chance to see the new AP Top 25?
Yeah, I have. I'm actually looking at it right now because, it's one of those things where you have these expectations, and then there's some teams that you haven't thought about that jump out at you. Oregon at number 3, I knew they were going to be good, but I didn't expect to see Oregon after losing Bo Nix last year be in the top 3. So I'm very interested to hear what you have to ask about it.
Yeah, anything else stand out in there too, glaring, both maybe a little too highly ranked or too lowly ranked?
So, it's interesting because I'm not going to say that Ole Miss is overrated or too highly ranked, but seeing them at number 6 is another one that just kind of it shocks everything.
Yeah, I mean, can they live up to that expectation?
Right, and I think they have that chance. I think Jackson Dart coming back for this next season is a big deal for Lane Kiffin and that staff. So, yeah, just how can they survive another grueling SEC stretch? They've got to go. They got to play Georgia at home in November. Are they in the top 10? When they get to that Georgia game, that's going to be an interesting question. I forget the rest of the schedule, but I think it's just one of those things where they're in that spot, and now the expectations are there. Missouri is one that I think it's ranked perfectly at 11, and right. I think they could probably surpass that, but it's Missouri, so you never really know. A couple years ago, they had a pretty disappointing year, so. We'll see what the Tigers in Columbia do, and obviously that midseason game with Auburn is going to, I think, be a big one for both programs.
I gave my super dark horse pick to possibly make the college football playoff out of this poll at number 25, Iowa. They got a ridiculous amount coming back from that roster, and finally believe that they've tried to come into the modern. Part of this century with their offense.
Yeah, are they going to score double-digit points this year?
Yeah, are they going to score more than 9? I mean, they still got 10 wins last year.
And it's one thing, you're never going to doubt the Iowa defense or their offensive line or anything like that. So if they try and modernize just a little bit and pair it out maybe, I love that pick.
Well, take a look at their schedule too. It's very manageable, about as much for Iowa as you can be. Who down there do you see that could be a dark horse college football playoff team out at lower in the poll?
So this is just a team that always catches my eye, and it's Kansas. And I don't know if it's going to be this year, but I do think that program is going on the correct trajectory. Obviously, they're in kind of a weird year where they're not going to be playing their games at their home stadium. They're going to play some games at Arrowhead. I think they've got another home venue that they're going to be playing at. But I do think Jalen Daniels is a very elusive and impactful quarterback that if he takes that next step, then I think the Jayhawks are one to look out for, especially in a Big 12 that's losing Texas and Oklahoma. They could contend for that Big 12 title.
Yeah, that's the big thing right there, is the two best teams from that conference don't play there anymore, and there's all sorts of additions. The four from a year ago, Colorado's in the Big 12 now. I mean, that conference has been turned on its head. And so, all right, well, book it down. Jacob Hillman says put the house on Kansas to make the playoffs.
Scheduled, Jacob.
No. Yeah. Don't put those words in my mouth, all right?
Listen, you might be onto something here. Just taking a quick look at their schedule, I mean, they're at Illinois. That could be a little bit of a test. You don't know what Coach Belima is going to have in store. You know he's going to be able to run the ball. then you got at West Virginia, a little TCU. I don't see Arizona on here. Kansas State, mm-hmm. Iowa State. I mean, this is a very manageable schedule for Kansas to take care of business and sneak up there.
And I just think it's a fun team to watch, and that's part of it a little bit. I'm sure they'll disappoint against somebody, but that's how it goes if you're banking on the Jayhawks.
So. Yeah, when you're banking on Kansas football, you know you're struggling a little bit if you're banking on the Jayhawks to do something in college football. Well, believe it or not, Hillman, we are getting into all of the fall sports, not just college football, and here on the Lanes, they're all getting ramped up. We've got schedules, we've got tickets, you got credential requests. I mean, everything's going out in Auburn University in terms of fall sports. Everything's getting right around to getting started for 2024.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It kind of got started this past week with Auburn soccer's exhibitions against Mercer and Memphis, and it really gets started on Thursday at the Auburn Soccer Complex when they host number 5 Clemson. That's at 6:30 Central. There'll be radio coverage on Eagle 91.1 FM, but admission is free to those matches, so get out and support the Tigers. And then obviously volleyball's released its schedule just recently, its full year schedule. There is a orange and blue scrimmage on August 18th, so that's this Sunday at 2 o'clock Central at Neville Arena. Then another exhibition, this is against Georgia Tech on August 24th, and then season gets started for real on August 30th against North Alabama. That's a weekend. Again, North Alabama, Georgia Southern, Wofford, and Troy at Neville Arena. So there's a lot to look forward to other than just football. So get out to the Auburn Soccer Complex as well as Neville Arena this fall to support those teams.
Jacob Hillman joins us every Monday at 3:30 from the Auburn Sports Network. My man, it's always a pleasure, and it's so much fun to talk to you about everything going on around Auburn athletics and even some things outside of Auburn as well. But tell the people what they need to know, where they can keep up with you and everything going on at the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU as well as the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network. The next time we talk, I'll be getting ready for Tiger Talk alongside Andy Burcham and Brad Law next Monday. So we'll have a great list of guests that day, and we'll be ready to get started back for the season. That really feels like our official kickoff to the season, that first Tiger Talk. So we're excited for it next Monday at 6 o'clock Central. That's right on Wings 94.3.
Boom. Love it. Jacob Hillman, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, he's with us every single Monday at 3:30, giving us all we need to know about Auburn athletics. We'll come back and wrap it up here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Man, been a great show. We say it all the time, but, I mean, when it's true, it's true. And
No one's working harder and having more fun, Jacob.
That is true. That is a fact. Some would say that's a lead pipe lock is what that would be. And so we appreciate you all being with us each and every day, whether you're here for one segment, 1 hour, one day, doesn't matter to us. We appreciate you tuning in all day long on ESPN 106.7 and, of course, during our show from 2 to 4. We have just got done talking with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. We've talked about the AP Top 25. We've talked the scrimmage from Saturday. Mm-hmm. We've talked over under 7.5 for Auburn wins this season. I mean, we've covered a lot on the show today, and so if you missed any of it, you can go and listen back to it at espnau.com. That's our station website. You'll find that there. You can also listen to the show live there each and every day. And
I gotta get on something Hillman said.
Go ahead.
Because I think he has pointed out something. He may be some sneaky, you know, the Greek picker here or something here, because this Kansas schedule sets up very well for them to be one of the teams that comes out of the lower top 25 and be a dark horse contender for the college football playoff. They only play one team preseason ranked in the top 25, and that's at Kansas State, who's ranked 18th. In league play, they'll miss Oklahoma State, Arizona, and Utah.
That's big, not playing Utah.
And so at Illinois will be a little funny game for them, but I believe that they dominated them last year.
Well, Illinois is not good.
Well, they're not, but, you know, still, it's Big 10, Big 100, whatever the league's called, team. I mean, they ought to be able to at least get a little physical with the Jayhawks. I mean, I'm trying to look for a game here. They missed Central Florida, right? They missed Texas Tech, which playing out in Lubbock can be a weird place to play.
They play Cincinnati?
They miss Cincinnati.
Wow.
This is a very, very beneficial schedule to Colorado, to Kansas. And on the flip side, we hadn't had a chance to talk about him today.
Oh, boy.
But here comes Deion Sanders
again.
Are there Auburn fans out there who still wish we would have hired Deion Sanders? Be honest.
Mm-mm.
If you're one of those people, please don't ever tell us who you think should be the head coach at Auburn again. Colorado's schedule is brutal. They play five preseason top 25 teams. The last three games of their schedule, and this is after they go to Texas Tech, Utah.
Loss.
At Kansas.
Loss.
Oklahoma State.
Loss.
They got to catch Kansas State, Arizona, Cincinnati, Texas, Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State at the end of the season. They may not win one of those games.
I was going to say, do they even win a conference game? Coming off a 4-8 year?
I'm going to go a little bit further here. And say, would it be out of the absolute realm of possibility? And I know this might be crazy Uncle T-Bone talking here, Jacob, around the fire late at night in the fall with a lot of football and a lot of fun in them. But could Colorado lose every game on their schedule this year?
What are their non-conference games?
North Dakota State.
That's not fun.
That is not a gimme.
No.
At Nebraska.
Ooh.
Matt Rule's going to have something for them.
Ooh.
At Colorado State.
Who gave them everything they wanted a year ago.
And then they catch Baylor, who they're vulnerable to lose, Baylor is.
I mean.
Then they go to the Fighting Malzahns at Central Florida. That's a big L. In the Orlando Swamp.
And
then they catch the rest of their schedule. K-State, Arizona, Cincy, Texas. I'm going to go ahead and say this.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure Deion Sanders will be the head coach at Colorado by the end of next year.
Does he make it through this year? Does he survive the season?
I mean, the end of this year.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Okay. You're saying he may not make it till the final game.
They may not win a game.
If he doesn't quit picking fights with reporters, yeah, you're absolutely right. He can't keep his foot out of his mouth. He can't quit fighting people that have nothing to do with people who made him mad. Trying to fight local CBS affiliate reporters and people out of Denver. Come on.
I mean, here's a headline from CBS Sports that they pasted from 24/7 Sports. This is what Colorado's all about right now. Deion Sanders taunts Pat Narduzzi after snagging two transfers from Pittsburgh. You're taunting Pitt. Dude.
Let's look ourselves in the mirror.
That's a sinking ship there, man. Calling it now. Man. Implosion time.
Oh,
the Colorado
boy.
Titanic has hit an iceberg.
Oh, boy. Well, if you want more of that from Uncle T, you'll have to tune in on Friday is when he'll be back. But I'll be back tomorrow with Christian Griffin, voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, will be in studio with me. We'll have a lot more to talk about, breakdown from Auburn, and continue to preview the upcoming season. Thank you all so much for being here. I'll be back tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.